Welcome to episode 14 of Talking Impact Investing, a podcast about impact investing, ESG factors, and sustainability. I'm your host, Matej Suschitz. This episode features a conversation with Nick Maynard. Nick is a senior vice president at Commonwealth, which is a national nonprofit building financial security and opportunity for financially vulnerable people through innovation and partnerships. Nick graduated from Princeton and Harvard and has focused on serving the financially vulnerable people with savings innovation. We talked more about his background in the beginning of the podcast, and the key topics we discussed were all related to the S aspect of the ESG matrix, the social part, which is very important. And particularly, we talked about how employers and investors can benefit by paying greater attention to worker financial security, why the metrics and the analysis of the S part of the ESG do not yet fully capture the status of the employee's financial security, and also what are some of the critical changes that can be made in the future to address the employee's financial security, and how this can also be a very interesting opportunity for the impact investors. Without further ado, let's dive right into the episode. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Matej. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. Happy to have you here. It's a pleasure. First, let's start with your story. You started getting a degree at Ivy League schools, then worked in strategy consulting for bigger companies throughout the U.S., and then moved to Commonwealth, serving bigger purpose to serve underrepresented communities. Can you walk us through your story and what you're currently working on?
My story ties a lot to that last part of the introduction that you talked about, which is linking to a larger purpose. And so throughout the work that I've done academically and in business, there's been an intersection point with trying to impact that larger purpose. And so what I found is having a degree in engineering served me well to get a real fast track education in business, working with multiple Fortune 1000 companies on their strategy development, and then decided to pursue both a MBA and a master's in public policy to explore the intersection between business and that larger social impact that both government and the nonprofit sector can have. And so I spent about a decade in the business world and come to a lot of this work that I do for the last 15 years with that business background. In my prior career, worked with a lot of different companies in various industries on strategy and execution of those strategies. And that has transferred well to the work today at Commonwealth. At Commonwealth, you know, I lead a team that focuses on engaging business and policy leaders around proven solutions to build financial security for all Americans. As you probably know, you know, tens of millions of people in the U.S. live with chronic financial insecurity, inadequate savings, and no meaningful wealth. And that has a lot of harmful consequences for themselves, their children, their families, communities, employers, and the larger economy. So at Commonwealth, over the last few decades, the fundamental purpose has remained to create a stronger and more prosperous society where everyone has financial opportunity. Our work to date has enabled 1.5 million people to save over $6 billion on a path to greater financial security and wealth. And through that work, we've moved employers and financial services firms and policymakers to engage on these important issues. And so I've been doing this work for about 15 plus years, and I find it is a great intersection between that business orientation and the social impact orientation that many folks are trying to achieve.
Absolutely. What would be some of the communities that you focus on and try to help them?
So we focus nationally. Commonwealth is a national organization. So we develop strong partnerships with either national nonprofit organizations, if we're working more towards that angle, or with large corporations. So as part of our current work with the BlackRock Emergency Savings Initiative, for example, we have partnerships with ADP and FOIA and AutoNation and Best Buy and UPS. And we focus that work on impacting the lives of low to moderate income Americans. And we especially are concerned about the impacts of our work on Black, Latinx, and female-headed households, who make up a higher percentage of that low to moderate income household segment in the United States. So we want to work through large partners so that we can have a significant impact and also bring proven solutions to those relationships and find ways to intersect with business objectives as well. And we've had some success there.
Excellent. So when we talk about ESG as a whole word itself, there's the S, the social aspect. What are some of the main things that the social aspect captures and where do you see that there might be some opportunities to improvement and something that is hard to measure?
You know, today we find that, you know, ESG, the history has really leaned heavily towards the E part of ESG, as you mentioned. And S is really something that has gained a lot of attention, we have found, during the pandemic. And as things like grocery store workers being essential workers, or folks who are within the hospital systems being essential workers, like physician's assistants or support staff and so forth. And so how we think about that S and more broadly defined it caught our attention at Commonwealth, and the work that was already going on in sustainable finance and in sustainable investing by so many great people over so many years. And we find that wages are in there today and some level potentially other programs, not too many. And so we found a gap in terms of the work that we do with some of the companies that I mentioned earlier around worker financial security. So how do we make sure not just with wages, but beyond that, that workers have some sense of security? And we've another interesting thing that we found is that has tied into a lot of early stage DE&I efforts that many companies are going through and data that they're analyzing themselves about where pain points might be for their employees. And so there's an interesting intersection there, which also ties, you know, into the S and thinking more broadly. So we think that by extending our work beyond just taking proven solutions and putting them into settings with companies and having that impact, we think there's a conversation between those companies and investors that can be quite important.
Absolutely. Are there perhaps any recent engagements and efforts from different employers to provide financial security through that S aspect of the ESG framework to their employees and community as well?
Recently, in our work with the BlackRock Emergency Savings Initiative, Commonwealth partnered with Voya Financial and worked with UPS, who launched an emergency savings initiative for 90,000 employees. It helped them set aside liquid after tax easily and automatically as part of their 401k. And so it really addressed a need that exists in that space. A lot of workers end up turning to the 401k account in times of emergency. It became clear during the pandemic that that was a place that was being looked at to help people get through rough times, but that's not the purpose of the retirement account. The purpose of the retirement account is to help people many years down the road make sure that they have enough money once their working years are done. So we've seen that. The world has seen the great work of Abbott Laboratories. They have a Freedom to Save program that matches student loan payments into the 401k for employees who qualify and contribute at least 2% of their pay to student loans. So this allows, you know, a typical college graduate who may come out with, let's say, $50,000 in debt, go work at a company like Abbott, but not feel like they can be contributing to the retirement plan, but they are contributing to their future by paying off their debt as quickly as possible. And then what Abbott got government approval to do was continue to pay their retirement match by tracking those qualifying student loan payments. So what's interesting is then you come out of that student loan process feeling really good about having achieved that, and you've built up some longer term savings versus going through the process of doing the student debt payment and not having built up the long-term retirement savings and feeling like you've made some long-term negative impacts on your finances. In addition, you know, we saw a lot of sort of work at different times with emergency cash assistance. Walmart has a critical need trust, and it offers a together fund to provide eligible associates with financial assistance after an unexpected or unavoidable event. And those associates can access up to $1,500 for that event. And that's sort of the principle of you can have a really not something that would fall in your typical sort of thinking about emergency savings or emergency fund, but a shock that a company can give you support with and help you through that time and make sure that that doesn't end up in financial catastrophe, which would have all of these things would have longer term impact on the employer in terms of worker productivity and so forth, which I can get into. The linkage between these tools and the research that shows that, you know, it has impacts, positive impact on different areas.
Thank you for explaining that. I really like the whole concept of not just increasing the pay, for example, for the employees, but also having different programs that allow them to be financially successful over the long term and more tailored to a specific person and their financial situations.
Yeah, and there's a lot of research that's being built up more and more, especially as we now have four generations in the workforce, that as you employees are looking for a lot of that customization and that engagement to meet them where they're at. And you can imagine how that's tricky to get right in all circumstances because different generations may have different financial needs.
Yeah, and definitely building off of that, how important then is the financial literacy aspect? And how can that be accessed through the employers providing that to employees, but perhaps also in the school system?
So financial education is necessary, but not sufficient. And there's a lot of access points to different types of financial education. As you mentioned, there's potentially access through the schools. There's a lot of national organizations that work on financial education and connecting it to the schools. There's a lot of access to financial education, potentially at the college or community college level. Sometimes there's, you know, intro courses just on that topic that students can take in those at those schools and so forth. And then there's a lot of financial education materials available through many, many employers, as well as banks and credit unions, community banks, fintechs. So there's a lot of information out there, and I've only scratched the surface. You know, government has financial education materials and so forth. But the research seems to point more and more towards that there has to be the ability to take action and hopefully link to a solution that helps a consumer do the job they need to do. So, for example, in our research, we find that many folks understand that they need to save for emergencies, but they find the products and tools and solutions available to them either through the financial services sector or maybe not even available today through their employer to help them through that, to do that work of building up emergency savings. And so that's part of the great work that we're doing on this emergency savings initiative is to really think about that as a standard employee benefit and with the type of high quality features that employees are looking for. And then if you think about the, you know, impact investing conversation, employers that have that type of tool available that has high quality attributes to it will see impact on productivity and on retention and hiring and so forth. And that should lead to, you know, better returns for the company if investors are engaging and asking about what's going on that front. Oftentimes the conversation on the benefit side can be limited to, you know, the quality or type of retirement plan, but there's so many more ways that a company can be helping, especially its financially vulnerable employees.
Absolutely. And we're going to get back to the impact investing side in a second. First, can you talk a little bit more about the issues that people face in regards to their financial situation, some of the more common ones, and what are some of the good ways to, as you said, find a solution for them?
So many consumers find themselves, depending on their situation, in a variety of challenging circumstances. One could be the type of employer consumer that struggles to get from paycheck to paycheck, which can occur for a variety of reasons. But we regularly see the data nationally reported about the percentage of Americans, which seems to increase or move up and down at different times as well. I think now it's around 60%. Who are living paycheck to paycheck. And so that pain point creates challenges in terms of how do you put money aside for emergencies, could be timing issues with when bills need to be paid. And also there's a lot of complexity in the system with tools that can make it hard to figure out what the right, you know, decisions are. So for example, if you're the type of consumer that wants flexibility and lives paycheck to paycheck, in the banking system, you might be encouraged to just have a checking account and not access a savings account. Because oftentimes, savings accounts have restrictions on the number of times you can pull the money out of the savings account each month. And so when we think about mental bandwidth and the complexity of managing everything through the checking account and trying to maintain, oh, this is my savings and so forth, it's very hard for consumers. And many fintech apps are stepping into service that need and that challenge and provide different ways to help consumers with that. But there's no doubt that if there was the ability for those tools to be more directed to the problems and challenges of that particular paycheck to paycheck consumer, that they might have an easier time getting from one to the other. Another big issue is having an emergency fund, which is different than emergency savings. And Vanguard has some of the best research on this that we've seen. And that's the notion of, how do I accumulate 3 to 6 to 9 months of funds to help me for a larger income shock, like job loss or something of that same genre. And so if I have that money built up, I might be able to weather the storm a little more between one job to the other. Or if I have a larger income shock, like a larger situation with a family member who needs income or this or that, I can weather it. So those are two of the big pain points. And then obviously student debt is a significant issue, as well as other forms of debt for consumers. And a lot of those challenges are very complex, could be the size of the student debt and the payment runways for that. For an auto loan, it could be the size of the interest rate that was charged and trying to manage through that and make those payments. So there's a lot of varying challenges that consumers face. But we think that emergency savings is a real important one to start with, because it can have a lot of cascading impacts, and there's a lot of opportunity to improve the type of high quality emergency savings that exists in the United States.
Thank you so much for further explaining that. When we move on and kind of connect this towards the impact investing, how can employers help to solve those issues? And looking at the future, how can they address the financial security of their employees for their well-being, but also for the financial success of the company?
So we think, and our recent work on a joint report with Putnam Sustainable Investing Team, we identified three best practices for employers. One is to offer high quality benefits to strengthen employee financial security. And we've talked a little bit about emergency savings. We've talked a little bit about student debt repayment and supporting retirement through that student debt repayment. There also are potentially areas to explore ways at no or low cost to employees to help them with small dollar loans or other sorts of tools that get them through a financial shock. Those are areas that should be further researched and so forth, but those are potentially other opportunities, as well as I mentioned emergency cash assistance as another option to help employees when there's been an external event that they really need to be smoothed over. A second best practice that we identified is improved messaging and design of short-term financial benefits. So when you think about emergency savings, you might not know that there's a lot of really good research from us and others about what helps define a high quality, just emergency savings account. Lower no fees, the ability to take that account wherever you go from employer to employer, liquidity, the idea that savings account that I can get to whenever I need it. That seems to be the hardest one for many, many firms to wrap their heads around. The idea that if it's not saved for an extended period of some time that I imagine in my mind, then it's not savings. But we have a lot of research, as do others, that show that savings can be even in a short 2-week window. And so then you're tapping your own savings to get through a challenging or difficult time. It's not necessarily saving. All savings is not necessarily for a year or 2 years or longer. So, that's a big component of it. as well as the idea that there's no, you know, hidden fees. I think that's a big challenge in the financial services system and something for employers to watch out for in terms of the fees that end up impacting employees and consumers and eating away at some of that small dollar savings. And then finally, a third, you know, best practice that we identified is, you know, increasing tracking and disclosure. And so that's really about engaging with employees around their financial security and wellness, understanding what the impact that things like emergency savings benefits are having on employees, and then just thinking about disclosing that more broadly, either in case studies or to the investment community to note the impact of what's going on in the deployment of those tools. For example, it wouldn't be too far afield to think that if we offered an emergency savings benefit and it was successful with employees, that it might reduce the reliance on the retirement plan for liquidity and the tapping of the retirement plan for loans or hardship withdrawals, which are a significant challenge in the employee space.
Excellent. Nick, thank you so much for your time. This has been a great conversation from talking about the importance of the letter S in ESG to defining some of the challenges that people face and how the employers can actually take a step forward and solve them. So I'd like to thank you so much for your time, for joining us today at the Talking Impact Investing.
Thank you for your time, Matteo. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for staying with us until the very end. You can stay up to date with the upcoming episodes by subscribing. And if you found any useful information, feel free to leave a 5-star review and follow Talking Impact Investing podcast on social media.